Sometimes we don't have any class anyway, so if you know what I mean, no class at all. All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we're finishing up here, chapter 7. Back on point 14, the corrected verse there in Psalm, should be Psalm 9, 6. Instead of 7. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins. That's our term, Charabah. The Bible Works program that you can look verses up recognizes that the Hebrew will begin a verse in the introductions, and you have to pay attention because in the New American Standard, it's going to be different than what it is in the Hebrew text, so sometimes I don't catch that. But anyway. So I wasn't too far off. Close but no cigar. Well, yeah. All right. Here, looking at the result of the flood being the extermination of all life, with the exception of Noah, his family, and the passengers of animals that God ordained to accompany him on the ark. And that obviously looks at the grace for positive volition in contrast to the judgment of negative volition with respect to the whole scenario. And while the rest of the world pursued their love of the world and negative volition otherwise, seeking to be first and the best or powerful or rich or whatever goal they may have had in the world, they are the ones to meet the judgment. Those left in the wake, if you will, the cosmos, looking to God for blessing rather than the world, are the believers, those who are positive, and in this case, being left behind is a good thing, not a bad thing. We are exhorted not to become discouraged and let the world influence us in regards to their flaunting of possessions and accoutrements and successes and things in their life. And often with derision, you know, looking at those who do not achieve the same level in their own self-righteous minds, makes them so special. And believers, obviously, who limit themselves, sometimes in a large ways, in regards to how far or they might go in life, in regards to pursuits, because of their geographical restrainment of Bible class and things of this nature, obviously are looked upon often as being people that are foolish and otherwise do not avail themselves of all that is there and make the most of themselves, if you will, in that respect. You don't let that kind of criticism get to you. We are known as the foolish in regards to the negative world because we have chosen a different path in life. That's not one of austerity and things of this nature as they may otherwise look at it, but one that puts Bible doctrine first, and if it means a sacrifice of one thing or another, we're willing to do that in order to maintain the priorities of doctrine in our lives, in order to maintain the most pressing responsibility of our life under the proper guidelines and dictates of God's directed will in that matter under the rule imperatives. So don't worry, what we may sacrifice and give up today, I guarantee you hang in there with it. It'll be worth it. God will make it up to you in ways that I cannot even express to you. In regards to your eternal destiny, in regards to what you will be forever and ever. In this respect. And everyone will meet their own destiny in that regards and find themselves fall within the class of individual from unbeliever to believer and positive believer, lukewarm, negative believers to positive believers in that respect. So, to be left behind. Let the world go ahead. Let the world pursue its way blindly in regards to the spiritual realities of what they're involved in. Sooner or later, they will meet their maker. Sooner or later, they will run against a brick wall that is immovable, the rock. See? And it will shatter them. So Noah, because of his positive volition, becomes, as we know, in the flood scenario, the star player. In addition, obviously, to God. But under God's... I see God as the producer of this whole thing, actually. And the player, the actor, Noah, gets a starring role. And because of his exceptional positive volition, phase two positive volition, those associated with him in that realm, because of their own positive volition, are blessed. And so Noah is delivered because of Yahweh in this regards. Yahweh sees it. He embraces him and gives him the insight and the instruction and the will to escape the wrath, which was point 27 in our notes, page 27. And Noah's family and creatures because of Noah. That's the way God tends to operate. He gives insight to communicators. If they're positive, they'll have accurate insight. They pass that information along to others. And everyone becomes blessed from God down in the chain of grace. So 28, verse 24, then closes the climax of flood with an important chronological note. The water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So 29, now the time of 150 days. Kamishim Wa'ne'ayom is used here. And then we'll see again in chapter 8, verse 3. So 30, this 150 days is the length of time the water maintained ascendancy over the earth. And it's another one that I've changed up a little bit since, upon further reflection. It should read, the tidal effect began on D plus 1 and then mark out continued to increase and instead replace that with sustained dominance until D 150. And as we get into chapter 8, you'll see why I changed it, because it was not an increase all the way up to the 150 day. By the 150 day, actually, the water had decreased sufficiently for Noah to land on the mountains of Ararat. So, but the emphasis is the dominance, the power of the water in the ascendancy stage. So again, point 31, the tidal effect began on D plus 1 and sustained dominance until D 150 plus 150. So 32, during the first 40 days, there was obviously incessant and heavy rainfall in this period. That's when the water vapor canopy basically condensed out and rained like you wouldn't believe for the first 40 days. And in addition to that, obviously, the deeps were opened. So 33, after another 2 months and a half, essentially, then the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. As we'll see in 8:4, on the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. 7 from 2 is 5 months, that's 150 days. That should be after 5 months. After 5 months, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. The water crested and prevailed, our term Gabar, in this amazing feat by being pulled there via gradational interaction between the earth and astral visitor that we dealt with in previous notes that was caught for 5 months in the earth's orbit. All right. Now we move on to scene four. Final scene of the flood, chapter 8, verse 1. In scene 4, we see the flood abates in verses 1 through 14, beginning with the ark settles, verses 1 through 5. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. Vowel consecutive, our count perfect third masculine singular verb zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. And he remembered the nuance he thought about, language of accommodation, obviously. God, common masculine plural absolute, our word for normal word for God, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. Then he had sign a direct object denoting what he remembered, beginning with Noah, proper noun, Noah, and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him on the ark, wow, conjunction. Again, he had another second sign of direct object, common masculine singular construct, followed with common masculine singular construct, kol, K-O-L, all. Then the definite article, common feminine singular absolute, Kayam, C-H-A-Y-Y-A-M. Then you have the conjunction as living things. Another sign of direct object, giving each one of these particular attention, if you will. He doesn't forget anything. This idea here, why you have so many signs of direct object. Common masculine singular construct, coal, and then our noun for cattle, the first one, living things, translated beast in New American Standard. Cattle is our term Behama, Behama, B-E-H-E-M-A-H. Noah and all of the living things involved, the beasts literally, which were with him on the ark, relative pronoun, Asher, A-S-H-E-R. Preposition, eth with the third masculine singular suffix, with him, together with him, the idea, eth. Preposition bait, on, definite article, or noun for ark, teba, T-E-B-A-H, common feminine singular absolute. And God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. And we'll see different terms used in regards to the action of the water in regards to its receding process here throughout this. So just a heads up here. And God caused a wind to pass over the earth. You have the wow consecutive here with the hifil verb, imperfect third masculine singular being causative in form, abar, to pass over, A-B-A-R. God, Elohim, repeated. Our word for wind here is our common, both singular, absolute term for ruach. R-U-A-C-H can be translated wind, spirit, breath. Here we're looking at a environmental wind. Over the earth, that's the phrase with the preposition all, A-L. denotes motion more than location here upon the earth, definite article, eretz, common feminine singer, absolute, E-R-E-T-S, wind, breath upon the earth, and the water subsided while consecutive, cal, imperfect third masculine plural, shakak, S-H-A-K-A-K, literally they abated, receded, subsided, that being the waters, definite article, common masculine plural, absolute, the plural, obviously, that's how the Hebrew looks at water, it sees it in plural. Got more than one drop. Waters, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M. Verse 2, also the fountains of the deep and the floodgates of the sky were closed. While consecutive, here we have the nifel form of the verb, imperfect third masculine plural, sakar, denoting passive outside agent, S-A-K-A-R. Also, they were shut up or stopped up, closed up. The fountains is a common masculine plural construct, meyayan, M-A-Y-E-Y-A-N, meyayam, yayan, the fountains of springs of the deep, common both singular absolute or noun, tehom, T-E-H-O-M. And the floodgates of the sky were closed. You have wow conjunction. Our term translated floodgates is the common feminine plural construct of the noun aruba, A-R-U-B-B-A-H, literally the windows. So the Caribbean island, Aruba, or wherever it's at, Mexico, it means windows. Little things you can pick up. Bible doctrine, it enlightens you to everything. Windows of the heaven, floodgates, definite article, common masculine plural, absolute, our word for skies, heavens, shamayim, again, always presented in the plural in the Hebrew, S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M, three heavens available, atmospheric, stellar space in the third heaven. And the rain from the sky was restrained while consecutive, nifal imperfect, third masculine singular. Our next word here, restrained, is kala, K-A-L-A, to refrain, restrained. Here the rain, definite article or noun, common masculine singular absolute, geshem, G-E-S-H-E-M. From the heavens, same construct with the definite article, shamayim, with the preceded with the preposition men, from the heavens, M-I-N. Verse 3, and the water receded steadily from the earth. You had the wow consecutive verb cal and perfect third masculine plural, our verb shub, S-H-U-B, means to turn or return. Translated here, receded. Denotes a different course from ascending, is now descending, is the idea. And they return literally here, the waters, mayim in the Hebrew. Then you have the preposition men plus the preposition all, from above the earth. Waters return from above the earth, ha-eretz. Then is the final word in the Hebrew is our kal, infinitive, absolute, halak, H-A-L-A-K. Literally means walking in a continuous way, and steadily moving. So the translation receded steadily. The water returned from the upper, from its upper apex, walking in the reverse direction. That's how the Hebrew paints it. And at the end of 150 days, the water decreased. Wow conjunction, cal infinity of absolute, again, our word to return, decreasing here, shub, S-H-U-B. Followed with the wow consecutive and the cal imperfect third masculine plural, our verb chasar, C-H-A-S-A-R. Literally, it means to abate, to lack in something, to abate, literally, and decreasing. And they abated, became less, if you will. The waters, definite article, common masculine plural, absolute, mayim, repeated. At the end of 150 days, you have the preposition men, followed with our common masculine singular construct, chatseh, C-H-A-T-S-E-H, chatsar, chatseh. At the end of 50 is our adjective, both plural, absolute, chamish, shim, C-H-A-M-I-S-H, S-H-I-Y-M. And 100, vowel conjunction, me'ah, M-E-A-H, plus our noun for days, yom, Y-O-M. Verse 4, and in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat. Vowel consecutive, followed with our cal, imperfect verb, third feminine singular, nuah, N-U-A-H, rested, and it rested, obviously, very close to noah, nuah. The ark, definite article, or noun, tabah, T-E-B-A-H, common feminine singular, followed with the preposition bait, definite article, and then common masculine singular absolute, Kodesh, our word for month, C-H-O-D-E-S-H. On the month, the 7th one, literally, definite article, plus our adjective here for 7th, Shibi, S-H-E-B-I-Y-I-Y. Plus the preposition bait, and the adjective masculine singular absolute sheba. So on the month, the 7th one, on the 17th day, you have sheba first, S-H-B-A-H, or number 7, followed with the adjective masculine singular absolute, our number for 10, asar. So 7 plus 10, 17, A-S-A-R. Day, or noun yom. Literally, of the month is to the month. Exactly. That's the emphasis here. Preposition lama, definite article, and our noun kodesh, repeated. Upon the mountains of Ararat, preposition all, A-L, common masculine plural construct, or noun for mountains, har, H-A-R, then the proper noun for the range of mountains, region, here is Ararat, A-R-A-T, transliterated. Verse 5, and the water decreased steadily until the 10th month. So we got some time sequences that we have to deal with in this period. Enough to scramble your brain and you look at it long enough. The water decreased steadily until the 10th month, while conjunction, def, and article are now for waters, mayim, repeated, M-A-Y-I-M. Literally became, cow, perfect third, common plural, hayah. Waters came to pass, H-A-Y-A-H. Walking, or translation steadily, again, cow, the cow infinitive of the absolute, our verb to walk, halak, H-A-L-A-K. And vowel conjunction, decreasing or receding, abating, is cow infinitive absolute. Kasar, again, one I didn't get stuck in there. C-H-A-S-A-R. My mind moves faster than my hands sometimes. Until the 10th month. Until is a preposition odd, A-D. A definite article. Noun for month, Kodesh, repeated. The 10th one, definite article, adjective, masculine, singular, absolute. Word for 10th is Eshari, A-S-H-I-Y-R-I-Y. Eshari. Then completing the verse, in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains became visible. Preposition bait, our adjective for 10th, repeated, ashari, here on the 10th month, understood. On the first day of the month, you had the preposition bait on. Our adjective for first here, masculine singular absolute, is ekad, E-C-H-A-D, or akad, on the first. To the month, preposition lamed, of the month, kodesh, repeated. Then you had the nifel plural, third common, nifel perfect it should be, third common plural, our verb, to see verb, ra'ah, to become visible, R-A-A-H, they were seen, nifel, again, obviously being passive. What was seen is the tops or heads of the mountains. Common masculine plural construct, our word for tops here is Rosh, R-O-S-H, literally heads, tops. The mountains, definite article, are noun, Har, repeated, H-A-R. All right, rereading the verses here. I go back and I correct anything on our computer notes that go on the website that I find, so I catch something, I go back and change it. Verse 1, chapter 8. But God remembered Noah. He thought about Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God caused to pass over a wind, over the earth a wind, and the water subsided. Verse 2, also the fountains of the deep and the windows of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky was restrained, withheld. Verse 3, and the water returned walking from the earth, from above the earth, receded steadily. And at the end of 150 days, the water decreased or returned less than. That's a literal thought. Verse 4, and in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark rested Nuah upon the mountains of Ararat. Verse 5, and the water decreased steadily until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains became visible. All right, let's see if we can decipher all this here. Analysis of verses 1 through 5. 1, chapter 8 presents the fourth and final scene of the flood proper, ending verse 14. When we get to verse 14, we finally have absolute dry ground. So that, as I brought out the beginning of this in the Hebrew, it breaks it out in four different sections. Others may subdivide that. I've kept it basically according to the text in regards to its subdivisions into four parts of the flood scenario. And now we are in part four. So two, the remainder of the chapter, of chapter 8, revolves around events debarking from the ark, leaving the ark. And that is when God will once again speak to Noah and tell him, get off. Get off the train. You're here. Off the boat, sorry. So, three, now, whereas chapter 7 focused on the water's triumph over the earth, its domination, of prevailing, verse 24, ending chapter 7, the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Chapter 8 focuses now on its abatement, of its receding, of the flood levels going down, returning the earth back to its natural form of land and water. So far, the floodwaters have done their divine bidding, eliminating all the land-bound creatures outside the ark. Their intended purpose was successful, and that is to kill off the bulk of the mass of humanity and the animals' kingdom, apart from, obviously, as we know, Noah and his passengers. So, God is behind things. Yeah, you don't like to see things happen to people in regards to natural catastrophes, things of that nature. But understand, God's still in control. And whereas people may always look at it as something bad, understand there may be occasion that it is God's judgment coming upon people. He does use nature in that way. You just have to be discerning. So five, the attention now turns to the lone survivors. To the lone survivors. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him on the ark. Six, the hope and future of mankind rests in the hands of God and continue to intercede on behalf of the ark's passengers for their deliverance. While they are secure within their waterproof vessel, their ultimate survival still is in the hands of God. Obviously, this reflects upon the fact that while we may engage in our own applications and do what we can do with what we have in our life, ultimately, it still all rests in the hands of God in regards to this outcome. So, their future on the ark still is dependent upon God interceding on their behalf and providing this ultimate deliverance. So, seven, now the verb remembered, zakar in the Hebrew, here has a nuance of, quote, thinking about, end quote, rather than the idea of recall. Eight, his omniscience, God's, always knows all things at all times, and his reflection upon the passengers here, obviously, is language of accommodation. Language of to explain so that we can perceive it in our human form, God's omniscience in action. Obviously, God in eternity past knew every second of anything and everything that's going to happen before Him, or during, or behind, looking at it from the perspective of time. Obviously, God operates outside that perspective. Just shows you how limited we are in regards to truly the access of knowledge that is available in regards to higher beings. And that comes obviously from God. Well, guess what? We get the blessing of having that higher knowledge every time we come to Bible class and look at the Bible and read and understand these things. It's a knowledge, understand it, that the majority of people do not have in life. To have Bible doctrine, especially in a pure, sound understanding, is exceptional. People talk about going out and becoming a doctor or a scientist, or whatever, and excelling in the intellectual academies and fields in regards to this world and how smart they are. We possess a knowledge that is far more valuable and far more genius than even the intellectuals attain to in regards to their own lives. That's called Bible doctrine. And it is exceptional for anyone who can grasp the entire counsel of Bible doctrine and have that clear understanding. Now, you want to run off and go to college and learn all about your profession and excel yourself academically in that way. Well, in the meantime, we're sitting here in Bible class and we're excelling in an area of wisdom that will ride with us for all eternity. See? Again, what's most important in your life? The world, in general, rejects doctrine. Those who do have, in the fundamentalist world, denominational world, aspects of it, that's all it is glimpses. And even then, their vision is extremely hazy, mostly. To have clear insight. So God has omniscience. He knows all things. He's willing to reveal to us who are positive and who are seekers aspects of that knowledge for our own possession and enjoyment in regards to our lives. So God is omniscient. He knows all things, always has. Even every hypothetical situation that one may conjure up. So remembering is not God literally remembering in terms of recall. It emphasizes His attention. The attention He gives now to Noah and the passengers. So 9, it emphasizes His actions on behalf of those He remembers with perfect timing in accordance with His plan. It emphasizes His actions on behalf of those He remembers with perfect timing in accordance with His plan. 10, such as when He delivered Lot in His remembrance of Abraham, giving Rachel children, and bringing Israel out of slavery. Genesis 19:29, we'll see the same anthropopathism, if you will, ascribed to God in these verses. Genesis 19:29. Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley, that's Sodom and Gomorrah, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when He overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. There, the remembrance obviously reflects upon Abraham's position and the conversation Yahweh had with him, and that Yahweh would spare any believers that could be found in the cities. And that all came down to simply Lot and his wife and his two daughters even his wife's husbands were negative. But he, that points to the perfect timing. Perfect timing for lost deliverance by the skin of his teeth. Sometimes that is the deliverance, the perfect timing. At the very end, you don't give up hope. When you're under testing, understand there is always a deliverance. Testing may last for long periods of time sometimes, certain tests. But you don't give up hope. God has perfect timing in regards to all that He does with respect to us. It's also reflected upon giving Rachel children. Genesis 30:22. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb. So again, even in that perspective, having children, there is timing, God's timing in regard to things, rather than going through life and simply pursuing things willy-nilly with our own desire, looking to God and being patient and waiting upon God to open doors and close doors, or however, however it may be. See, but his timing is perfect for all concerned. And especially in accordance to his plan and how instrumental the action is in that respect. How long Abraham and Sarah had to wait for children. But in perfect timing, see. And then also his timing of delivering Israel from Egyptian slavery based on his covenant with them. Exodus 2:24. The Abrahamic covenant, that he would sustain a nation from his heritage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it looks at God basically putting into motion that necessary to fulfill his word, his promise, to put in action at perfect timing in regards to them. In also 6:5, same mention. And furthermore, I have heard the groaning of the sons of Israel because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I remember my covenant. We may forget, God doesn't. So the idea, the language of accommodation, remembering Noah, is God now acting on behalf of Noah, is the idea. With perfect timing in the whole scenario to fulfill his will with respect to judgment, and paralleling in conjunction with the grace that he is now obviously providing for Noah and the rest. So 11, we note that God's concern is not only with Noah, but for the animals as well. 12, there is not anyone or anything unaccounted for in God's economy. How many times in my life I've heard people say, well, God's not interested in that, little bitty details of life. The hell He isn't. He is interested in everything. It's all His. It's all of His creation. And there's not anything that misses God's omniscience. Even the most small, minute details. Matthew 10:28-31. Even the animals on the ark have God's attention. See. And do not fear those who can kill the body, verse 28, Matthew 10, but are unable to kill the soul. Sin fear, even sudden fear of death, those who do have the power to destroy life. That's not all that life is about. But rather fear Him, have a righteous fear, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Soul is created eternal. The body is replaceable. And you don't have to have robotics to do it. God is going to create a new body for all of us. That is unbelievable in regards to His capabilities and substance. And then He goes on to emphasize the attention God gives, especially to those who are His in this respect. Are not two sparrows, verse 29, sold for a copper coin, a cent, as we might say. If you can find one with full copper anymore. And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Wow. That roadkill you saw down the street coming in here or whatever, or the other day, it didn't go down apart from the Father. He knows that. He knew what happened. See, it's all within His perspective. It's all within His jurisdiction. He is the sovereign. But the very hairs on your head, verse 30, are all numbered. Now, with some of us, He doesn't have to count very far. But others, obviously, that's a lot. He knows every hair on your head. And you're telling me God's not into details? All you got to do is teach Him the big picture. Details don't mean anything. That just shows you how lazy you are in regards to seeking of God. I want to know everything I possibly can in this time He gives me in regards to God. It's one of my goals. One of my desires in life. To understand Him as much as I possibly can, so that when I face Him at the bema seat, at least I have some frame of reference. That's solid, see. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Verse 31, therefore, do not fear. You are more valuable. You are of more value than many sparrows. I kind of like the limit that's put on that. Many sparrows. He doesn't say all. He just says many of them. Don't think too highly of yourself. God's creation, He has an investment in every aspect of it. Look at it that way. It's like you had investment in all the corporations in the world. And you're going to have an interest in every single one of them. Because they're either going to make you or break you, see, in their individual parts. Father, again, we thank You for Your truth through Your Word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to unite these things in Jesus' name. Amen.